Reading comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 24. I, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our Father God, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in grace, in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel, of which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse, as you have already said. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was it taught. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism. How intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, that is Peter, and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the brother of our Lord. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. That's a strong passage, but I like that bit there. They recognized the one who formerly persecuted the church. And when you think of it, we all persecuted the church at one time. We all rebelled against God at one time. And it's only when we were convicted of our position, or no position in his inheritance, that we came to accept his Son as our Lord and Savior. And hopefully, people have praised God for us since then. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will be with me now as I bring the word you've laid in my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll calm down this tinnitus, which is annoying in my ear, and I hope it's not affecting your word. Lord, I pray that I will bear it just as a gift from you, Lord, to make me concentrate maybe a bit more on that it's all about you and not about me. But Lord, I just pray that you'll open our ears and our hearts to receive your word this morning. And if we need to, Lord, to put into practice what you say to us through it, because you've got something to say to each one of us, Lord. So I leave it up to you, Lord. I am in your hands. Use me as your mouthpiece. because we only want to hear from you this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Strange title for this morning's message. It's a question. Are you a sheep or a goat? Now, I don't mean that by the animal being a sheep or a goat. I'm talking about the characteristics. I'm going to read the characteristics to give you a clue of where you can put yourself. The characteristics of a sheep. They are meek animals. They're usually very quiet and gentle, holding themselves aloof from the world. In a flock, all the sheep tend to listen to their leader and show esteem to them because of their obedient character. While goats, on the other hand, they're very intelligent and curious animals. Their inquisitive nature is exemplified in their constant desire to explore and investigate anything and everything that they're unfamiliar with. You know, that bit at the end, intelligent, curious, inquisitive, wanting to investigate everything that they're not sure of. That reminds me of the world today. But we'll carry on and see if the scripture tells you. The scripture which we read from in Galatians, I'm sure you'll agree, it was a stern warning to the church in Galatia. Have you ever thought if Paul were around today, which churches he might send that warning to? Well, let's be quite clear about it, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us clearly. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. From that scripture, it's a clear warning to all of us, isn't it, who believe. It's as relevant today as it was when Paul wrote it. The title of this morning's message, as we just said, Are You a Sheep or a Goat? It's a sad fact that it would appear that there are a lot of churches that pay little heed to scripture if it doesn't suit the ears of their congregation. They're more ear ticklers than preachers. They pick and mix scripture to suit, leaving out what is difficult to preach on and picking out the sweet meat, as it were, that people may enjoy. You could say that they operate by feelings and not by faith. They're more concerned about pleasing people than pleasing God. I'm sure you've heard that same sentiment as I have from church members of other churches, different denominations. And I've got three that I've put down that I'm going to go through. First one, short. They want to be inclusive. They want to be up to date with the present day society. The society finds acceptable to be sociable. They want to please people, not God. They forget or they ignore what you can read in scripture in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The second point is a lot of the clergy, they're not happy to preach too much about God's righteousness, his wrath, his anger, or his judgment. They would rather preach on his love. But it's not God's love, it's their idea of this airy fairy love. Because our Lord isn't a lovey-dovey type of guy. He is a fierce and awesome God. He's almighty, the almighty King. So that is a whole wrong outlook on it. Again, they forget or ignore, because sometimes they don't have to forget. They don't forget because if they forgot, they might read something which was pertinent. But they ignore what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, and he will be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you have believed our testimony to you. You know, that's a wonderful confirmation that if you know Christ, you've got nothing to worry about. But if you don't, well, we're talking about the second coming here, really. You know, when Christ comes, they're going to have to answer. And there's no escape. They will answer. The living and the dead will be raised, and they will come before the throne of judgment, those who don't know the Lord. The third part is, to some of these churches, it appears that Christianity is viewed as more of a denominational concept than a personal acceptance and relationship with Jesus. The saddest thing about such teaching is that there are a lot of the parishioners who think that they're okay. They know all about God. They attend church regularly. They give their offerings on a regular basis. And they don't do any harm to anybody. They're very nice, jolly people. Very sociable. But often they don't take notice of what Scripture tells them, because they rely on being fed at church, and that's as deep as it goes. So if they're only hearing the sweet meat, as it were, they're not going to get fattened in the faith. You know, Scripture tells them, warns us all, in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And it's true. Some church leaders are what could be described as bad shepherds, or as the Bible puts it, wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't worry or care that much about their flocks. But Jesus assures us who know him. In John 10:11, he tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we know that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life so that we had a way back to a relationship with the Father and him. Then again in John 10:14, which is just three verses on, again he tells us, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So just think that question again. Are you a sheep or a goat? Just think about it. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. You've got to answer it for yourself. There is only one way you can be certain of obtaining eternal life. And that tells us quite clearly in John 14, verse 6. Jesus again, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Couldn't be any clearer. Doesn't matter how many churches you go to and attend, how many days you go to church, how many services you attend on a Sunday, there is only one way that will work, and that is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. It couldn't be any clearer, could it? I can remember when this country of ours could rightly be considered as a Christian country. There was Christian assembly before the start of the school day, every morning. I didn't like it all the time, when I was a kid. But how to do it, we were there. And I enjoyed the singing, I must admit, I enjoyed the singing. I can still see our headmaster, who was a nice little dapper man, and he spoke ever so softly. And all the kids were straining to hear. You could have heard a pin drop. But he was such a godly man. And I didn't know at the time, but he was a lay preacher as well. Beautiful, Mr. Malone, bless him. Lovely old boy. But not only was schools with the assembly, council meetings were opened in prayer. Can you imagine that today? When you just got to look at the makeup of the councils, you need about 17 different religions to cover all the prayers that they would like to have. So things have got very much a big change. How things have changed, and not for the better, I believe. Today in this so-called Christian country, I ask, why is it that practicing Christians feel under pressure to accept social standards which go against biblical teaching? And if you try to voice a contrary opinion to the accepted social view, you're considered to be either a bigot, homophobic, an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, stuck in the past and out of touch with reality. Guilty. You know, people who respond in this way, though, you've got to forgive them, because they're goats. They're inquisitive. They want to inquisitive, get into everything they don't know, as long as they want to get into it. If it's something that they don't, they just leave it alone. People who respond in this way don't consider what they're saying in respect of what Scripture says. As we can read in Hebrews 13:8, which we've already read this morning, but it's again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If you love the Lord and you're one of his sheep and he is in you, then you can claim that as well. You're the same yesterday, today and forever. So if you're the same yesterday, today and forever, how can you be stuck in the past? Because you keep going on. What they need to do is to consider what Scripture tells us in Romans 2, verse 2, which reads, but those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Romans 2, verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. It's important that people, I believe, are reminded of all of God's qualities, and not just his love. Yes, he is a God of love. I'm not taking that away, but he's got many more qualities. As well as his love, there's his righteousness, his wrath, his anger, and his judgment. In Romans 1, 18 to 20, we learn of God's wrath against sinful humanity. It reads, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There is nothing that they can say to appease that. Yes, it's true. There is no excuse for sin. There's no getting away from sin. Because Scripture tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. But if you're a sheep, you've got a good shepherd who covers all of your faults, leads you along the right path. There's only one way to wipe the slate clean, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you'll receive forgiveness and be pardoned from all that you've done. But there is only one way to avoid God's righteousness and anger, as I said, and that's by accepting the precious gift that he offered. As you read in John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I like that, the whoever. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how good, how bad you are. You need to accept Jesus if you want to be a sheep. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are a sheep. And you can be confident that with Jesus, you have the best shepherd you could possibly ever have. One who cares about you. One who cared enough about you to die for you. And there's not many shepherds that you'll find like that anywhere. And you can take ownership of what John 10 verse 14 says. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. If as yet you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then your name will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the good news is, if you're a sheep, it will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not getting in. It's as simple as that. I remember the Reverend Dane Paisley. I'm sure you've all heard of him in the news. No longer with us, of course, his son's still alive. But he went knocking on the door of an old dear's house, and she came to the door. And he said to her, he says, good evening, missus. Have you been saved? She says, I'm on the roll of the church. I'll go to the church and I do all this. And she says, missus, your name might as well be on a sausage roll. If it's not in the Lord's roll, the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going anywhere but down. Some may say, that's very sharp, but it's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. And you've got to be truthful. And sometimes you've got to hurt to get through. It's why you hurt is the important thing. If you're doing it in love because you're trying to save someone from being lost, if you're doing it just to show how good you are, how lofty you are, how proud you are, then it's a sin. It's as simple as that. Because we are supposed to consult one another in love and correct one another in love if it's needed. You know, God's judgment is something, if you're a sheep, you don't need to worry too much about. Because we're told that you're going to be rewarded for what you've done for him. So you're going to get a crown. A well done, my good and faithful servant. But for those who are the goats, they will be getting the other. Away from me, I know you not. You know, if that's the case, that you haven't made that decision to accept the Lord, I sincerely urge that you consider it seriously. Especially the consequences of not being a sheep. God's precious gift of salvation is there, ready and available, free to all who will accept it. But I would advise you not to put it off till tomorrow, because we're not promised a tomorrow. As the saying goes, tomorrow never comes, because tomorrow will be sent tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. You know, how many tomorrows have you lived through? Oh, I don't know. How often have we put things off to tomorrow? I never got round to doing them. Guilty. My wife will tell you that. I'm still, I'll do it tomorrow. But that's fine in this life. But it's something that It's not fine if you're thinking about eternal life. You've got to be ready, because we're told that no one knows when he's going to come again. Only the Father knows. And we don't know when we're going to exit this world. Only he knows when our time is up. If we could see the Lamb's Book of Life and our names on it, you would find out the day and the time that you were going to be accepted into it. But could you live with that burden? Can you imagine what it would be like? The pressure. That's why God is gracious. He doesn't show us everything. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for ours, but for his. But he also has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. I'm not going to finish without it. Plans to give us hope and a future from our old friend, Jeremiah. And with that, I think we'll close. Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, your righteousness, your wrath, your anger, and your judgment. Because there are times when we are disobedient and we do need your wrath and your anger and your judgment. But Lord, you do it so gently. And we have always got a say in it. But Lord, we just pray that you will make us more malleable to your way. Let us be the clay in the potter's hand, that we may be formed into the people that you would have us be, to fulfill your plan in each of our lives. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus, the one who made it possible for us to come back into fellowship with you. In his name we pray. Amen.